Hey, good morning, everyone. Let's turn to 1 Samuel chapter 3. Okay, 1 Samuel 3. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord before Eli, and word from the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were infrequent. It happened at that time as Eli was lying down in his place. Now his eyesight had begun to grow dim, and he could not see well. And the lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. That the Lord called Samuel, then he said, here I am. And then he ran to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. But he said, I did not call. Lie down again. So he went and lay down. The Lord called yet again, Samuel. So Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. But he answered, I did not call, my son. Lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor had the word of the Lord yet been revealed to him. So the Lord called Samuel again for the third time, and he rose and went to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. Then Eli discerned that the Lord was calling the boy. And Eli said to Samuel, go lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you shall say, speak, Lord, for thy servant is listening. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Then the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, speak, for thy servant is listening. The Lord said to Samuel, behold, I'm about to do a thing in Israel at which both ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. In that day, I will carry out against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. For I have told him that I am about to judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knew, because his sons brought a curse on themselves, and he did not rebuke them. And therefore, I have sworn to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house should not be atoned by any sacrifice or offering forever. So Samuel lay down until morning. Then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord, but Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. Then Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. And he said, here I am. And he said, what is the word that he spoke to you? Please do not hide it from me. May God do so to you, and more also, if you hide anything from me, all the words that he spoke to you. So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. And he said, it is the Lord. Let him do what he seems good to him. Thus Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fail. And all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was confirmed as a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again at Shiloh, because the Lord revealed himself to Samuel at Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Amen. All right, this is one meaty text here, okay? And so we're going to have a lot of fun with this morning. So Samuel now is a young boy. Most likely, most scholars place him about 12 years old now. And he's ministering, not necessarily in the house of the Lord, but he's really ministering to Eli. Because at this age, Eli is quite old and he's nearly blind. Samuel must have lived in a tent where some of the other priests would that would attend to the high priest. And so he was actually at a distance where Eli could yell and Samuel could hear. And that's the narrative that's going on here. Verse 1 really sets the tone, but verse 1 actually connects all the judges to this space right now. Now we're entering into a new dispensation in a certain way, because now the word of the Lord is coming again to Israel. In the book of Judges, and you can kind of connect sin to the lack of the voice of God. And those two things seem to go hand in hand with one another. When there's a lot of sin, remember the overriding theme of Judges was everyone did what was right in their own eyes. In other words, they did not look to the Lord. They didn't follow after God. They did whatever what seemed right to themselves, which led to death and destruction. And so during this time, the words of the Lord, I would say this, the words of the Lord are always coming, but there's no one that's listening. It becomes faint. And to give an idea of that, proof of that, in the book of Judges, all through the book, there are actually only two passages that even mention a prophet. One is Deborah, and it doesn't say anything about what she prophesied, but she says that she's a prophetess. And then in Judges 6, it talks about through Gideon's day that God sent a prophet to explain what's happening with the Midianites and everything. We don't even know his name. And so the words of the Lord were very, very rare in those days. And throughout the Old Testament, just kind of make a mental nod, sin increases, the words of the Lord decrease. And so there's something that we need to kind of connect in our hearts about the issue of holiness. that holiness is really quite important, and not just so you can get something from God or hear from Him, but hearing from the Lord is really a byproduct out of intimacy. And so when there's sin, there's a lack of holiness, and when there's a lack of holiness, there's a lack of intimacy, which leads to decreasing of God's blessings and decreasing of His voice, and, you know, and so on and so forth. So, I mean, that's something that's kind of a meta-narrative that you can kind of keep in your mind as we go through the rest of the Old Testament in that way. And so here's the story goes. They're lying down. Eli, fortunately, even though it was rare those times, didn't say never happened, and Eli seemed to have a very small acquaintance with some of these dealings of the Lord in terms of his voice and these visions and whatnot. So, we pick the story up in verse 3. The lamp of God had not yet gone out. That means it's this before sunrise. Remember in Leviticus, the lamp gets blown out at sunrise. And so it's before sunrise. And so Samuel hears a voice that calls out his name. He thinks it's Eli. He runs. And Eli says, go back to sleep, man. Another voice, Samuel. Samuel runs to Eli. Did you call me? No, go back to sleep. And then the third time, Eli goes, okay, this is very suspicious. You know, he's not totally forsaken of God. I mean, he has some inkling that something is going on here. And he gives some incredible, incredible advice that we should adhere to ourselves. And this is verse 9. And he says, go lie down, and it shall be if he calls you that you shall say, speak, Lord, for thy servant is listening. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. So Eli is teaching Samuel what it means to be attentive to the Lord. In that moment, just say, here I am, God. Thy servant is listening. Speak, for thy servant is listening. And so, that's great advice. In fact, Lauren Cunningham uses this verse in his book as he teaches his missionaries, his people, how to hear God's voice. And the primary method of how to hear God's voice, one of them is the issue of yieldedness, of really yielding your life to the Lord. And Eli will really obey his own teaching in this way because he yields to God's directive later on. We'll get into that in a little bit. And so the Lord comes to him in verse 10. Then the Lord came and stood and called as at other times. If you have a pen, write that, circle that. As at other times. Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, speak, for thy servant is listening. Did you notice the Lord was speaking to Samuel the whole time? And he doesn't raise his voice now that Samuel's ready or to get his attention. And this is sometimes a bit frustrating for many of us, and that God has God's tone. You know what I mean? Like we would like God to yell at us, you know, and we like God to scream and get our attention, but God has God's tone. God speaks in the way God speaks. He speaks just like he did at all the other times. And so it's not for God to adjust his volume. It's for Samuel to adjust his frequency. In other words, it's not about God getting on our page. You know, Lord, can you change your frequency so you can tune into what we're dialing into? No, it's up to us to dial into God's frequency. It's up to us to tune up our sensors a bit and become more sensitive to his voice. There's a passage that I think really explains this a little bit in John chapter 12. And the Lord's speaking over his son. And in John chapter 12, verse 29, it says, and some people, obviously the Lord heard it was the Lord, that God spoke and encouraged him. And the scriptures in 29 says, and some heard thunder, and some thought it was an angel. Isn't that interesting? Think about this. One voice, same voice, calls out, you know, in fact, let's go there. John 12, 29. So Jesus, he prays this in 28, he says, Father, glorify thy name. And there came therefore a voice out of heaven. I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. And the multitude therefore who stood by heard it, and they were saying, it had thundered. Others were saying, an angel has spoken to him. But only Jesus heard this voice. Isn't that interesting? Same voice, right? I have glorified it. I will. So same thing. His tone is the same. His volume is the same. And three distinct groups of people. One people said, "Man, did you hear that thunder? Oh man, that was loud." All they heard was, even though I should be really good because with thunder the other day, but just this crack, 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 you know, kind of thing of thunder. I know, really bad. Trust, I'm horrible with that kind of stuff. So some people heard the crack, crack, boom, thunder. Others like, it sounded angelic, but they didn't quite understand the idea. So they were a little bit more spiritually sensitive, but it was still, sounded like an angel. I didn't quite get it. And only a few heard that it was God speaking. See, God, he has the same tone, the same volume, right? The same frequency. It's not about, God, can you talk louder? Because he won't. It's really about us becoming more sensitive to his voice. It's about us dialing in a little bit more. Dialing in and recognizing that the Lord is speaking to us. And so Samuel now, he's dialed in. Right, he's heard these three, okay, and notice the voice of the Lord, it sounded like Eli, and so that's why Samuel runs to him, and so it's in other words, the voice of God very well times in our lives sounds very familiar to us, but we still need to find the distinctiveness. Samuel had to realize, no, this is not Eli, even though it sounds like Eli, this is the voice of God, and thus the sensitivity begins to be dialed in that way. I mean, just think of like your heart, you know, kind of like radar. And when we try to hear the Lord, just kind of fine-tuning our sensitivity, you know, dialing in that sensitivity to get into God's frequency. And so the Lord, Samuel, and he says, "Speak, for thy servant is listening." And the Lord said to Samuel, now this is Samuel's first prophetic word. And notice, and this is something that we should really kind of be very clear with about prophecy in this way, that God really set Samuel up in this regard, because God had already sent a prophet before, basically told Eli what's going to happen. And so what Samuel does, what prophecy does, it confirms the word that's already given, okay? This is a really, really good lesson on prophetic protocol in this regard. If someone comes to you, a man of God, a woman of God, and they give you a prophetic word, I mean, the Bible tells us in Corinthians to test all words. So we test it, but the value of the prophetic is not necessarily a new word. I mean, those things happen too, okay? Because obviously there has to be the first word before there's confirmation, but I get this a lot from young Christians that are exploring prophecy and whatnot, and someone, you know, gives them some new word. Don't worry, right? If it's God's word, he will confirm it. And he's really good about doing that. And it doesn't mean you lack faith or anything like that. This is just what God does. He confirms his word. So he had already gone before Samuel and laid the seed so for his first prophetic word that it would really be a confirmation of what God has already said to him. And this is one of the ways that we can really get away and get out of prophetic manipulation or prophetic abuse. Have you ever had anyone come to you and share something? I mean, this is really crazy, but share something like, "Oh, God told me that you're going to be my husband," you know, and stuff like that. That's like, come on, you know, like if that's true, it's like, I appreciate that, but I tell you what, I'm going to wait for confirmation, because if it's important to me, it's important to God to tell me as well. You know, trust me, those kinds of things happen all the time. And not just in relationships. I mean, there's all different ways that sometimes well-meaning people, but maybe under a deceptive spirit, or ill-meaning people, they're also under a different kind of spirit, you know, that try to manipulate people through prophecy. And sometimes it may sound good, but again, going back to this, it's about confirmation. And so generally what I do, and I can only talk about myself in this way. Generally what I do, when I receive a new prophetic word, I mean, I value and I treasure it. I usually have it written down somewhere. I actually have a notebook of prophecies. I have written down, if it's recorded, you know, I get it transcribed. And I hold on to these things. Because you'll find that God will speak over and over and over and over again. And again, it's not because we lack faith. And to me, it's not that I'm not willing to to act on it, because sometimes a lot of it is not really about an immediate obedience kind of thing. More is really talking about the future and what God has in store, and so it helps me to prepare to that end. And so, it, you know, in that regard, I give one example. And so when we're really exploring kind of like this whole apostolic ministry thing, even before I even knew what it was, for a period of about 6 months, I had like 6-7 people come up to me, some very well-known prophetic people, and just call that out. And I was like, what is this? But it just kept happening over and over and over again that I couldn't just throw it away. And so it got me into a season of study and season of studying the scriptures and, you know, about the apostolic ministry and all these things. And now, you know, I can say it's confirmed now in my own heart in this way. And so we see that this is how God operates. And so, you know, especially for Samuel's first word, it's important that it's not something that's out of left field. And Eli, because he had already the word from the other prophet, he comes and he goes, okay, fine. You know, done. I get this. And so he shares the word, and Eli comes, and, you know, Eli's excited. I mean, God hasn't spoken in a long time. He's the high priest. So he says, Samuel, tell me everything that he said to you. And, you know, obviously Samuel, who loves Eli, has been with him for, you know, what, 11 years now. He's not willing. And he says, no, you need to tell me right now, man. So he tells him, and look at now, you see the maturity and yieldedness of Eli. Verse 18, it is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him. Remember in verse 9, he had told Samuel to yield to the Lord. And now the word of the Lord comes and he yields to him. I want to tell you, Eli was not a very good father, but he was a good listener of God. I mean, I'll put it this way. He may not have been a good father, but he was a good son. I'll put it that way. And in this regard, because see, this is the key. Most people are willing to yield to the Lord. You know, we pray, Lord, tell me what you want to do. I'll do it. I yield to you. And then God says, all right, this is what I want you to do. No, thank you. And then when we actually get the answer, many times we're not willing to yield to that. That's yieldedness. Not before, but after. You get the word. You guys understand the difference? And so he gives the advice, which is good, but then he lives it out in his own life. And most of us, we're pretty, I think most Christians are pretty good about that. We're like, God, you know, do you want me to go to this company? I don't like this company. I hate this company. I hate this industry. But do you want me to go there? Oh, God, Lord, I surrender to you. I'll go there. And God says, oh, yes, I want you to go. Oh, God, please, no. I want to go somewhere else. Trust me, I've counseled many people that I have had this dilemma, and they're yielded before. So are they really yielded? No, they're not. It's like wishful thinking on their own part. Being yielded in this regard is, God, you have spoken. Yes, I obey you no matter what. That's yieldedness in their heart. And that's what Eli, and this is really a great lesson that Eli is giving the young, impressionable Samuel. So he comes to that place and he says, okay, this is the Lord. It's been confirmed. The word of the Lord has been confirmed. Let him do what seems good to him. And he humbles himself before the word of the Lord. You know, spiritual maturity in many ways. Spiritual maturity, you can tell with a lot of people, it's not how gifted they are. It's not how much knowledge of the scriptures they have. You know, all those things, you know, play a certain role in it. Spiritual maturity is what they do in the face of getting rebuked. It's how they react when they're getting a talk down to. And not like in a mean way. You know, obviously you don't want anyone to do it in a mean way, but, you know, when there's time for rebuke. And that happens. There's a season for everything under the sun. Even for me, you know, at times I need to be rebuked. But it's what you do when that happens. Are you going to be like Eli and say, this is the Lord. Do what seems best to you. Or are you going to become defensive? Oh, that's a huge thing in our generation. People are so defensive. We started pointing fingers at other people. You know, Eli could have said, no, Lord, it's my boys, man. You know, actually, it's the mom. The mom didn't take care of them very well. You know, she didn't breastfeed them when they were little. That's why they're in this situation. You know, I mean, he could have pointed fingers and done all kinds of stuff, but didn't. He just said, okay, yes. You know, our generation is so defensive. We're so easy to point fingers at other people or get mad and lash out. You know, have you heard this with young people? Well, how about you? Why are you telling me? How about you? You have, you know, all these things. Well, it's not about me. It's about you right now. And that defensiveness and that anger really tells what's really going on in their hearts. Spiritual maturity. Eli was mature. He was not a very good father, but he was mature. And so Samuel grew the word of the Lord. The Lord was with him. Let none of his words fail. And 20, all Israel from Dan even to Beersheba knew that Samuel was confirmed as a prophet of the Lord. Right? In other words, the community recognizes the prophet, not a small group of people. You know what happens, what's happening in our day and age? There's like four people getting together and they're saying, hey, you're an apostle. Hey, you, you're a prophet. I'll call you a prophet, you call me apostle, okay? All right, good, let's shake on it. I'm telling you, that's happening all over the world right now. It's just a small group of people saying, hey, you're this and you're that and you're that. No, it's the community. The community recognizes Samuel's confirmed. He is the prophet of the Lord. Not a small group of people, not a person themselves. You know, I had this guy come into my office. This is years ago, and we're talking, blah, 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 and he's just ranting and, you know, about stuff. And so I said, well, what do you want? I mean, what's your ministry? He said, well, I've been recognized as an apostle. I said, by who? You know, by myself. You know, I mean, he didn't say by myself, but he basically didn't have anything to say. So it's basically by myself. I recognize myself as an apostle. And I said, oh, okay, thanks. You know, I mean, what can you say? And you realize, man, that's not very biblical. It's the community recognizes, right? God. In other words, what happens is the Holy Spirit is upon somebody, and everyone just recognizes the work of the Spirit on that person. It's the body. It's the value of the community in action at work that really does this. It's not just a few people. You know, I got this little prayer group. Hey, I believe you're in a... And then the church actually doesn't confirm that by any means. You know what I mean? And stuff. And so then what happens is people, they start getting, oh, you know, I'm this, I'm that, and start flexing their muscles, and then they start thinking they're more spiritually superior than everybody else, and man, what a mess in that regard. Remember, it's the people, not just the special people. It's the people recognize, oh, that's a prophet, right? That person is prophetic. That person has apostolic gifts. You know, this person has pastoral gifts. You know, this person has evangelistic gifts in their life. Oh, this person has the gift of administration and whatnot. And we recognize, oh, they have the gift of leadership. Man, it's on this person. The healing is on this person. And it's the community that comes to confirm that word. Amen? Not individuals or small groups of individuals. And so the Lord was with Samuel. So let's close our eyes. I told you, man, I can spend hours on this passage, but I don't have that much time. But it's so rich because it really is. It's the beginning of a new dispensation. The word of the Lord has come back to the house of Israel. What an incredible time. Remember how God used to speak to Moses face to face? Those times have been long gone because everybody did what was right in their own eyes. And now God has finally raised up a man for himself. In a desperate time, and the word of the Lord has come back. The word of the Lord is here too, brothers and sisters. The word of the Lord is in our lives. God speaks. We need to fine-tune our ears, the ears of our heart. We need to fine-tune our antennas. We need to put away sin. And yield our hearts and say, yes, Lord, do to me as is your will. I'm your servant. You are my God. And when that kind of heart is being fostered, individually and as a community, God speaks. His voice thunders over the waters. It's amazing. For many of you, I feel like some of you are in a moment, you're trying to get a word of the Lord for your future, for your work, for your family, just for your own heart. And unfortunately, you're a bit frustrated because all you hear is thunder right now. Some of you guys are getting a little closer and you're hearing, oh, it's kind of angelic, but I still don't get what that's saying, the voice is saying. Just fine tune this morning. God will speak to you. My sheep hear my voice and they follow.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the
go before the Lord this morning. You know, quite simply, if you have to put away sin, please do that to get us into that place of holiness, into the presence of the Lord. But I feel like for most of us, it's just more about fine-tuning. Maybe the issue is yieldedness. Maybe there's a part of you that's unwilling to receive or obey maybe what God may have for you. That's a process in Him to yield our hearts. So I want to encourage you to do that. But in your own way, fine-tune the ears of our heart to hear the Lord. Let's pray this morning. Go to our community prayers and let's lift up our community that's battling through cancer and going through therapies, and let's pray for God's touch in their lives. Pray for our community that's battling through illness but also needs to get saved. Let's pray for physical healing and spiritual healing. Let's pray for our community that's battling non-cancer related illnesses, and let's pray for God's healing touch. Brothers and sisters that are looking for work, let's pray for God's provision and open doors. Let's go to our mission focus and let's pray for Hong Kong today. Let's ask God to bless this wonderful city. Pray for over the government, pray for all the leaders, and ask that the Lord would use them to make righteous judgments. Let's continue to pray against the wealth gap and cry out for revival in this place. Let's lift up all the churches ministering here in this city, that the gospel would be preached. Pray for our friends ministering, sports services, Shanty, Masters Beauty, Sons and Daughters, CSW, Mother's Choice, Green Church. Let's continue to lift up the Hong Kong students that are pressured, and a lot of suicides are happening. Let's just ask God's hand to be upon them and that they would find hope in Jesus Christ. Let's lift up. Let's lift up our staff. Let's ask God's hand to be upon each one of them to be healthy. Pray for their families, their children, that the word of the Lord would be in our hearts, and there'll be increased sensitivity to that. Let's pray especially for Ken, Pastor Ken. He's feeling a little ill this morning. Pray for God's healing touch. Let's pray for our worship sound and AV teams. Let's lift up Pastor Nate and Pastor Ken, other leaders of these ministries. Let's pray for a continued heart of worship and excellence in what they do, and that they really their public worship would be a result of their private devotion. Let's lift up. Let's pray for our hospitality ministries, welcoming under Pastor Andrew and Barista under Ashley. Let's pray for more volunteers to rise up, and that they would really be full of the spirit of joy as they welcome people into the church. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, this morning. Lord, we're like Samuel, God, today, and we say, speak, my Lord. Your servants are listening. Speak, my Lord. your servants will obey. I pray that you'd fine-tune our sensitivity to your voice, God. Let it not sound like thunder or even like an angel, God, that we'd be sensitive to the sound of your voice. We thank you. We love you today, God. Help us to glorify Jesus in all that we do and we say. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you tomorrow.